Matthew 5, verse 21. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Now, before you come to the altar, release all offense. Spirit, come have your way in us. Fill us up. I pray that you would just speak clearly to our hearts right now. That if there's any offense, if there's any bitterness, that we would just move to make it right. That we would just release it. That we would let it go. That it would not eat us up inside. Spirit, just please speak right now. Let us hear your voice. I pray that we wouldn't doubt that we're hearing from you, that we wouldn't second guess ourselves, that whatever you're speaking right now, that we would know that it's loud, it's clear, it's from you, it's from your voice. Whoever it is that's offended us, that's hurt us, right now, we just pray a blessing over that person. The battle's not against flesh and blood. The battle's against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. We know that. He wants to divide us. He wants us to believe that our brother or our sister is against us, that they're the enemy. But we know that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. And we believe your word. And that you sent Jesus to die for every human that has ever and will ever walk on this earth. And that that person right now that we are mad and angry and bitter towards, we forgive them and we bless them in the name of your son, Jesus, right now. Some of you, you just felt that. You felt that tightness release off your chest. You felt bitterness leave right there. Say it yourself in your seat if you need to. Just say, I pray a blessing over, and then you fill in the blank. I pray a blessing over this person. I release them. I won't be angry at them. I won't be bitter at them. And when you let them off the hook, it frees you. It gets you off the hook. The enemy wants to divide us. He wants us angry and bitter. He wants to build up a fence. But we will release it at the foot of the cross. We'll forgive just as we've been forgiven. Those who have been forgiven much will forgive much. We won't leave this place with bitterness in our heart. We'll go to the person before we leave this morning. We'll go and we'll have the conversation. We'll go and we'll make the phone call. We'll go and we'll set up the meeting. We'll go and we'll release it and we will set that person free off our hook. And we'll set ourselves free off the hook we've put ourselves on. Because we've been forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. No offense, no bitterness, no evil spirit, no spirit is allowed here to speak anymore. Holy Spirit, come have your way in us. We know that you're building us up to be unified, to be one. I pray that we would walk in oneness, that we would walk in unity, that we would walk in wholeness, that we would walk in unity, that we would walk in freedom. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you want the notes for today, you can text REV NOTES to 94,000. You can see everything I'm seeing right up here. REV NOTES, all one word, to 94,000. Hebrews 6, verse 7. When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. Thorns and thistles. We've been in this passage in Genesis all this month. And we keep coming back to Genesis 3. Where Adam and Eve, they're hiding in the garden. And God calls to them, "Where are you?" And Adam replies, verse 10, chapter 3, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked?" The Lord God asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Follow it back. Who told you? If you've been believing a lie, if there's something that you have rattling around in your mind, begin to ask the question, who told me that? Where did it come from? And trace it back. And if you can't trace it back to God's word, then you need to understand it didn't come from his word, then it came from the world. If you can't find it in his word, then it didn't come from him. He didn't say it. And if he didn't say it, you don't have to believe it, and you don't have to speak it, and you don't have to declare it over your life anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to live under that anymore. Trace it back. It goes on. Chapter 3, verse 14, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed.'" There's a curse that goes along with what he's done. "More than all animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband and he will rule over you." Happy Mother's Day. There you go. "And to the man, he said, 'Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat.'" Once again, who told you that? God told Adam something, but then who told him that other thing? If it doesn't line up with what God told you, be discerning, be wise. Walk in the wisdom of his words and not the world's. "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made? For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Thorns and thistles. In our pre-service huddle, everybody serving or leading in a different capacity, we get together. I told them, God's really been, I've been in a season of him teaching me about botany, plants. Thorns and thistles. Here's my short little study on thorns and thistles. In plant culture, these thorns, they are hard, rigid extensions or modifications of leaves, roots, stems, or buds with sharp, stiff ends, and they generally serve the same function, physically defending plants against herbivores. It's a physical defense against herbivores. What do herbivores do? They eat plants. Thistle. It's a common name of flowering plants characterized by leaves with sharp prickles. Prickles occur all over the plant, on the stem and on the flat parts of the leaves. These prickles are an adaptation that protects the plant from being eaten by herbivores. When you get bit, you try to protect yourself. And it develops these thorns and thistles within you and around you because you got hurt. And this is how you protect yourself now. Somebody hurts you, and this is how you protect yourself. This is how you maintain control now. Because once you've been hurt, you don't want to get hurt again. You don't want to put yourself out there again. You don't want to expose yourself again. And so you develop things, modifications. That's the word. You weren't supposed to have these. You weren't meant to live life with thorns and thistles. They're a part of the curse. Do you just feel what Jesus is teaching us right now? Like he's teaching us this. You don't have to live this way anymore. He wants to set you free from the thorns and thistles in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. His Holy Spirit is doing a work, and he's beginning to heal and garden and take care of those modifications that were never meant to be there. But you didn't know how else to deal with what you went through. We didn't. We were kids. You didn't know or understand what was going on. You didn't understand why your dad was yelling at you. You didn't understand why your mom was saying those words over your life. You didn't understand why that person you thought you could trust was touching you in that way, and you knew it wasn't right, but you didn't know what to do. And so you began to build up these thorns and thistles to protect yourself so you would never get hurt again. But because of that, it's keeping you from stepping into the intimacy that the Father wants with you and the intimacy he desires for his body, his church, to have with each other. He just wants to do some gardening today, which is fitting. Isn't that what every good mom wants to do on Mother's Day? I just want to do some gardening. That's what he wants to do. He loves you and he cares for you. And he just wants to tend to the garden of your soul. He wants to take care of you. He wants to nurture you. He wants to mend what's been hurt. He wants you to trust again. He wants you to believe for the best again. Who told you people are always going to hurt you? Who told you that? Who told you that you can't trust people and that you can't trust God and that you can't trust the Father? Some of us, we walked through that forgiveness prayer in the beginning. Some of you, you may not even realize this, but you have offense and bitterness towards God, towards the Father, and you need to forgive him. And that sounds crazy to us. Who am I to forgive God? God doesn't need your forgiveness, but you need to let him off the hook for what you've been holding him to, what you've been angry and bitter at him for. You need to release him and stop blaming him. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't for the person, it's for you. Forgiveness isn't for God, it's for you. We need it. Otherwise, the thorns and thistles just continue to overrun the garden of our soul, and we begin to get numb, and we don't feel anymore, and we don't know how to interact anymore, and we don't know how to walk in the Spirit anymore, because we're too guarded to hear and listen to his voice. Just invite him in today. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, please garden. Tend to the garden. Prune me. Clear away what doesn't belong. Begin to expose what's at the root of these thorns and thistles. Where did these thorns and thistles begin? Go all the way back. Who told you? Who said that? Who did that? Trace back those thorns and thistles. Biennial thistles are particularly noteworthy for their high wildlife value, producing such things as copious, you know, I didn't write this, copious, I don't know that word, floral resources for pollinators, nourishing seeds for birds like the goldfinch, and down for the lining of birds' nests. Luke 8:5, a farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Luke 8:12, the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Birds are demons. In this parable, just so you know, the birds are the demons. And when we trace it back to these thistles, what do demons love? Demons love thistles. They feed off thistles. They eat the thistles. They make a home in it. They make their nests out of the thistles. Demons want us bitter and angry and mad all the days of our life. They want us to live in the thorns and thistles because it gives them a dwelling place. It gives them a feeding place. Cut the demons off today. Forgive those who have offended you, who have hurt you. Let them go. Let them off the hook in the name of Jesus. And he's going to heal you. You think, oh man, yeah, I'm so righteous. I'm going to forgive some people today. No. He's doing it for you. He's doing it for you. He's doing a work right now. Let him do a work. Release it, because the demons are having a heyday living off the thistles in your life, feeding off that seed. And they're making a home. They're building their nests with it. You go on there, Matthew 13, verse 31. This is in that same time frame where he's given the illustration, this parable. And he says this. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and they make nests in its branches. So you can be growing, you can be healthy. Some of you're like, I've been a believer a long time. I've been walking with the Lord, and we begin to get this arrogance about us. Demons can't touch me. Demons can't come near me. Let me tell you something. The devil is always trying to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to build a nest in your life. Jesus has already bought and paid for your salvation. And yes, you walk in that confidence and you know. But let me tell you something. The devil wants you to live through hell every day of your life. He wants to steal and take every blessing that God has for you. And he wants to turn it into thorns and thistles. When God wants to produce a harvest of righteousness, he wants to produce fruit of his Holy Spirit within you. And so what's the devil try to do? He wants to come and he wants to build a nest. Even when you're growing, even when there's good things going on, even when you've been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus, the devil still wants to try to find a foothold in there. How does he do that? How does he find a foothold? Through anger, through bitterness. Don't let him build a nest. Man, he's setting you free today. He's setting you free today. He's setting me free today. God can't heal what you refuse to reveal. That's why we have the altar open every week. You can come and you can give it all to Jesus. But if you refuse to confess, if you refuse to bring it to the cross, to bring it out into the open and just say, no, 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 I'm good. I'm just going to take care of this on my own. No, no, no. Confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. There's healing that takes place. Confess your sins to one another. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us of those birds. He's going to clear the birds out of your tree. They don't belong anymore. They don't get a nest anymore. That's what confession does. There's no shame in confession. There's healing. Stop holding on to what you've been holding on to and release it today. Some of you, you're like, I can't have that conversation. I can't go tell that person that they hurt me, that I was offended by what they said. I can't do that. Let me think here. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I just felt, I wanted to highlight. Yeah, I just wanted to highlight two people in our house. These two people, they've come to me each individually about different situations within the past 40 days. And they came to me and they just said, hey, like I got to tell you, I got some offense in my heart towards you. And they just told me what was going on. Like they just told me what they were feeling, what they were dealing with. And it was stuff I had no clue. I didn't know I had hurt them. I didn't know I had offended them. I didn't know what my actions had caused. And I told each of them, as they were sitting there, I needed this. I needed to hear this because I didn't realize. More often than not, the person that you are offended with, they have no clue what you're going through. I had no clue, but I was so thankful they came and talked with me. It's one of the most spiritually mature things you can do. It's one of the most fruitful things you can do. And there's a reason God is producing great fruit in both their lives. There's a reason that God created and called each of them to be worship pastors of our house. Andrew and Eleni, I'm so thankful for you guys. I love you guys. Because there's a lot of houses and a lot of churches where things go unsaid and bitterness grows, and you refuse to do that. You came and you told me what was going on like a brother and sister in Christ do, and I'm so thankful for you guys because I had no clue, and I needed that. My heart needed that. And our house, I just wanted our house to know there's a reason you guys were called into the positions you're in, because you listen so well to the Holy Spirit. You hear his voice. You don't let offense or bitterness even have a chance to get a foothold in your lives. You cut the devil off before he even had a shot. And I love you both. I'm thankful for you both. I hope that doesn't embarrass either of you. I wanted to highlight both you guys because you guys are walking by the Holy Spirit. In this house, we need that. So if it's there, don't sit back and wait and don't just think, oh, I'll take care of this on my own. Go and have the conversation. That's what he's saying in Matthew. Like, leave everything that you were doing. You came to church that day. You're going to make a sacrifice that day. You're going to go worship. You're going to go do something at the altar. Leave everything you're doing, he says, and go and make it right before you do anything. That's how you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You be obedient and you forgive 7 times 70, however many times it takes, you just keep forgiving and you keep releasing and you keep having the tough conversations. There's a reason God put Andrew in my life, because about 2 months before that conversation, he came to me and he told me something. He said, "Pastor Alex, you need to know this. Sometimes people feel like they can't come and tell you if something's wrong because they're a little worried that you're going to steamroll them with your words." And I said, "Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I received that. I needed to hear that because it prepared my heart for this next season, to be able to sit and listen when somebody comes to tell me, hey, this hurt me. This offended me. I thought this was wrong. I didn't like this." It prepared my heart, and I needed that. Iron sharpens iron. This is what the church is made for. This is what the church is meant for. But if we just continue to live in our own silos and box everything up, and we never talk to anybody, and we never have the hard conversations, and we never work through whatever kind of bitterness or offense is trying to dwell within us, then we're going to fall short of the church that God calls us to be. We're going to fall short in every area of life. Don't let the devil come and steal what God is trying to plant within you today. Don't let the birds in. Don't let the birds have a home. Don't let the birds steal the seed of God's word. You're good soil. This house is full of good soil. Let the seed of his word take root today. Let the roots grow down deep within you. Let it change you. Let it transform you. Let it renew you. All right, worship team, come on up. I got more I could preach. I could go longer. I feel the Holy Spirit saying, "That's good. You said what I wanted you to say today." And in my mind, here's what's happening. When you're learning to discern the Spirit, to discern His voice, you'll begin to notice almost a ping pong match going on in your mind. You'll hear the Holy Spirit kind of saying something, welling something up within you. And I just heard him right there saying, like, "You're good. You said everything I wanted you to say today." But in my mind, I'm starting to think, I got more, Lord. I got more. And you begin to battle back and forth. And you're playing ping pong, but you're playing ping pong with somebody that can't be beat. Just submit and yield to his voice today. Just submit and yield to his voice today. James 4, verse 7. So humble yourselves before God. Another version says yield. Just yield. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Some of us, we just keep trying to lift ourselves up. We just keep trying to promote ourselves. We just keep trying to tell people, "Hey, just listen to me. I got great things. I got great ideas. Just look at me. Look what I can do." But if we would just humble ourselves, he would lift us up. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. You know today, you need to forgive. You need to release. You need to let go of offense. Now you know. And so now it would be sinful to not do it. It'd be sinful to hold on to it any longer. Let it go today. Release it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's pray. Jesus, just thank you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you in right now. That you would clear away the thistles, that you would clear away the thorns. That you would help us trace back to that first moment when the thorns and thistles began to grow. Whoever it was that lied to us, whoever it was that hurt us, whoever it was that broke our trust, I pray that we would just release them today. That we would just forgive them, that we would just pray blessings for them. That we would know that that person is a son or a daughter of you. That your son Jesus died for them. That your son Jesus wants to invite them into the kingdom. That same person that hurt us, that scarred us, that wounded us, that took advantage of us, that you love them and that you care for them. Please, God, give us your heart. Let us have a heart like you today. Let us have a heart for your people. A heart of forgiveness, to forgive as we've been forgiven, to release as we've been released. That the thorns and thistles wouldn't have roots to grow anymore within our lives. That those things that were never meant to be, that they wouldn't grow anymore in this garden. That this would be a garden that only produces your fruit. Jesus. Jesus, we're just going to worship you in this place. And I'm just believing that if there's offense or if there's bitterness in this room, that your Holy Spirit is going to speak to somebody. That you're going to move somebody, that you're going to tell them, go. You need to say it. You need to release it. You need to let this go today. Don't leave this room without releasing it today. When you get in the car to start your drive home, that you'll make that phone call, that you won't wait another second. Holy Spirit, just please have your way in us. We yield to you. We submit ourselves to you. Every hurt and offense, we want to release right now. We pray blessings over those who have hurt us, who have offended us. We pray that they would be the head and not the tail. That they would be blessed on their way in and on their way out. That your hand would be on their lives. That your hand would be guiding them. That your hand would be open to them. And every blessing that we desire for our own lives, we just pray that upon them, upon that enemy, upon that person we've hated and that we've held on to for so long. We just pray blessings on them. That they would walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit, that they would be filled and know you and know they are loved, that today would be a day that they know that they were touched by your hand, that they were healed. Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen.